tell you that, he didn't have to come forward. I don't know what happened to that. I'm sure you should be in a position to update the comments in terms of his whereabouts. First, let me just apologize. There was a delay. No, not a delay. I missed my 6 o'clock flight this morning from Johannesburg. So that resulted in a delay that we have now. Honorable members that are not yet here, I'm sure they are still on their way. I don't have any apologies. Do we have an apology? Okay, we've got 3 apologies from S.J. Maredi A., Mr. Ambrosini, and Mr. Swart, ACDP, and Dr. Luyengi.
Another one changed that to Ma Adams is on for
okay.
Yeah. And then Nyambosi is sick.
Okay. Yeah. But since we're not going to adopt the report today, we don't really need a quorum. It's a briefing by the office of the AG. And the Mr. Zungu has indicated that he's got time pressure, but his colleague is here who's going to remain with us. I think it's Mr. Nicholas. I can't pronounce his name, Puren. Oh, I'm good. I think, Mr. Zungu, should allow you to proceed, and thank you. Thanks for making time and availing yourself. We know that you are engrossed in all sorts of work, particularly during the course of this year, and the course of almost the time for annual reports. Everybody was pissed off you. But thank you for making time, and we'll be eager to hear what your analysis is like in terms of the presentation around the Stats SA annual report. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. I think before I start, let me just introduce myself and explain briefly what is my role within the Auditor General of South Africa, and then I'll also introduce my colleague and do something similar. As the Chair has indicated, I'm Eugene Zungu, and I'm the Corporate Executive at the Office of the AG, and I'm based in Pretoria. And as a Corporate Executive, I've got 3 business units that I'm responsible for, which is 2 provinces, being the Western Cape and the Northern Cape, and what we refer to as National B. And National B is responsible, amongst others, for the audit of the Stats SA and the National Treasury, as well as Department of Transport and other departments as well. And accompanying me today is Nico Piren. Nico is the Senior Manager at the Auditor General of South Africa. He's also based in Pretoria. And he is responsible for the running of the Stats SA audit. So he's got much more detailed and closer, much more detailed information and much closer involvement with the audit team. So I'll do the presentation, and then we'll handle any questions from the committee together with Nico. I think just to move straight to slide 2 of our presentation, and this is our reputation promise as the Auditor General of South Africa. And really it just indicates that as the AGSA, we've got a constitutional mandate, and we are the supreme audit institution of South Africa. And what we see our role as is that of strengthening our constitutional democracy by enabling oversight, accountability, and governance in the public sector through we endeavor to live to this reputation promise or to this mission. And that is driven mainly through our leadership visibility. And the session that we're having here today is playing a major role through our in that strategy of the AGFA of being visible as the leadership, and to share with you in a clear manner as we possibly can achieve the outcome of the oddities within our portfolio, and in this instance being Stats SA. And all of this we're doing so that we can all work together towards achieving clean administration within the public sector, and to work as partners in that road towards clean administration. Because first and foremost, we are South Africans, and then we are auditors next. So I thought I should just share that with you in terms of how important we take our role as the AGFA. And today we're going to talk about the steps in South Africa. And there are no public entities that are within STEP South Africa. And this slide here, it just gives, at a high level, what has been the audit outcomes for STEP SA compared to last year. We can see that there are various audit outcomes that we have on this slide. And when we looked at last year, we see that the STEP SA was financially unqualified with findings on predetermined objectives and or compliance with laws and regulations. Right? This is what we used to call financially unqualified with other matters. So those matters would be any issues that we have identified that talks to performance information, or any issues that we have identified that talks to non-compliance with any specific laws and regulations, and also where there has been significant material misstatements to the financial information that is submitted for audit. So we'll rate the audit as financially unqualified with other matters. So that's where the STEP SA sat last year. And the key reason that it didn't achieve a clean audit outcome was that it had issues with on non-compliance and also on predetermined objectives. And mainly the issues that they had last year with non-compliance was around the inability to make payments within 30 days of invoice. And they also had issues regarding losses that were not being adequately investigated. So they managed to address both those issues effectively during 2009-10 by, for example, with the inability to pay within 30 days, they instituted a system through the direction of the leadership of the department to track the invoices and make sure that they are paid in time. And also with the losses, they brought somebody, an outside expert, to do an investigation on all the reasons for the various losses that had occurred, and appropriate action was taken to recover in instances where they had to recover. So with all of that, the department, if we look at that gray line, managed to attain what we call a clean report, or in much more detail, we refer to it as financially unqualified, with no findings on predetermined objectives or compliance with laws and regulations. And maybe I can just pause for the and maybe just digress a bit to try and explain for the committee what we mean as the AGSA when we talk about a clean report. And firstly, what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that there are no errors or misstatements in the environment that we audit. Because even in your most sophisticated private sector company, with any financial information, you find that there are errors that need to be fixed during the course of the year. What it basically means is that the institution, or the department in this instance, has got an effective internal control environment, which enables it to identify this error, or firstly to prevent any errors and misstatements from occurring, or where they have occurred, they've got processes in place to enable them to identify those errors and correct them. And this avoids the situation that is quite prevalent, particularly in the public sector, where you find that for the financial statements to get to the point where we can express an opinion, there's a lot of changes and adjustments that have to be made to basically get them to the point where we can sign off and say the entity is unqualified. So that's where the step SA is. It achieved a clean audit outcome because we didn't have any findings on predetermined objectives or compliance with laws and regulations. And there are three areas which is going to move to the slide 4, 5, and 6, but before I move to that slide, is in terms of our experience, the key things that need to be in place for a department to have an effective internal control environment. The most important thing is that the leadership, which starts from the executive authority or the accounting authority, needs to set the right tone from the top. Because if the leadership wants to have a clean administration, then the chances of that department achieving clean administration is that much more enhanced. So that is always the key thing that we advocate, that there needs to be that tone from the top, from the leadership. And then the management needs to put systems in place to deal with or to have appropriate financial disciplines. And by appropriate financial disciplines, we really go back to the basics, just to make sure that in the department there is daily recording of transactions if they occur. There is daily filing of documents. So those are the basics that we really talk to. And at month end, there is appropriate closing off of the books. There is reconciliations that are being prepared within the finance department. There is appropriate accounting for assets, be it monthly or on a quarterly basis, but much more regularly during the course of the year. And there is a regular preparation of financial statements, so that the department is much more practiced in the preparation of financial statements, so that we don't have issues with poor quality financial statements being submitted for audit. And then you can have governance structures, which will be there to assess the effectiveness of those internal controls on a regular basis, and they can report to management and also to the leadership of the department concerned. And then as auditors, we'll come in once a year, and then we can give the public at large an assurance as to whether things are working as they are reported or they are purported to be working. So in terms of our role as the AGSA, we've looked at these three elements, being the leadership, the financial management, financial and performance management, as well as governance. And we have developed what we refer to as key controls. So here we've made an assessment of, when you look at SSA, to what extent are these key controls in place under these three areas of leadership, financial management and performance management, as well as governance. And our intention with this key control document is to share it with the leadership and to share it with the oversight committees like this one, so that we can all work together just to identify any of the things that are early warning signals, any of the issues that if they are not being addressed, there's a chance that the department can regress back to a qualified opinion or to they can regress back from a clean report that they have basically achieved. And to look at, so there are three things that we've looked at under leadership in terms of setting the tone from the top. The first thing is to assess the extent to which there has been provision of adequately skilled resources capable of implementing the financial reporting framework and performance management requirements, as well as adequate evaluation of the performance of existing staff. And we've looked at it from two areas, one from the reporting on financial statements, and also reporting on predetermined objectives or service delivery information. Under financial statements, we've rated the department as requiring improvement in this particular area of having adequately skilled resources to prepare financial statements. And the key reason that we've rated them as requiring improvement is because even though they've got a clean report, we have concerns with regards to having adequate systems in place to account for their disclosure. Because with the use of the BEPS system within the public sector, departments have to have a manual system in place to be able to produce adequate disclosure notes. So we found that in certain instances, the department has struggled to produce disclosure notes, and they've gotten them to the point where they were financially unqualified, based on the errors that we would have identified during the course of the audit. And so if it wasn't for them adjusting for the errors that were identified during the course of the audit, so they might have been qualified on disclosure notes. So it's one area that they need to address. I think the area where the department has improved in particular is in having adequate skills to account for their predetermined objectives or performance information. And it's commendable here in particular because last year they had an issue with AOPI, or performance information, but they put adequate skills in place within the department to address that specific issue. So they got a particular manager who was given the responsibility to collate the information to report on predetermined objectives. So that's one area where the department, by our assessment, has done well. The second key control under leadership that we have looked at is whether the leadership ensures that proper actions are taken to address audit findings, key controls are implemented to mitigate risk of misstatement of financial statements, and report on predetermined objectives. So on both of these issues, both under financial statements and predetermined objectives, we feel that the department has maintained good practices in that area, because our experience has been that in the main they have action plans in place to address the various findings that we might have raised during the course of the previous year, and they have put processes in place to deal with those audit findings from the previous year. So the last area that we've looked at under leadership is the leadership's implementation of action plans to address user access control deficiencies. These are the controls around the information system that is in use in the department. So our general experience has been that in the public sector, this is one area of concern. And the department is no different, in that we couldn't get any evidence that there is appropriate user access controls in place to prevent. I think this is particularly risky in the sense that it opens up the department to fraudulent access to the IT systems that are being in use. We're not saying that we have picked that up, but unless these access controls deficiencies are addressed, there's always that risk that unauthorized users can access systems and perpetrate whatever fraud or whatever crime that can be perpetrated. So the next area of focus is on the financial and performance management. Also, we have made an assessment in terms of how the department has done in that area, and there as well, we've identified four key controls that should be in place to ensure that the department maintains its clean report status. The first area is whether they have appropriate systems in place to support the preparation of financial statements and performance reports. This is similar to the issue that I raised under leadership, where whilst we are quite comfortable about the department's ability to produce a set of financial statements up to your income statement and the balance sheet, it is our concern about their inability to produce complete and accurate disclosure notes at first attempt. So that's why we've rated them as an area that requires improvement is on the disclosure notes. The predetermined objectives, as I indicated earlier, that they have put in processes in place to address that. So we've rated the department positively in that area. So, and the other key control that is important, because we always advocate that management has to put processes in place to ensure that whatever is given to us to audit has gone through a thorough review process internally before it's submitted to the auditors. So this key control talks to that, where we say, is there a review of the financial statements and other information by management for completeness and accuracy prior to submission for audit? And we found that in other departments or in other provinces, internal audit also can play quite an important role, as well as audit committee, to give that additional assurance that the set of financial statements meets the requirement before they are submitted to the audit. So on the financial statements, we've rated them negatively for the same issue that the disclosure notes were not really reviewed thoroughly before they got submitted to us. So it's an area that requires improvement and strengthening, and I'm sure the CFO and her team can play a role in that. Predetermined objectives, we're happy with that for the reasons that I've mentioned before. And item three is what I refer to when I talk about the basic financial disciplines, whether they're in place, whether there is proper record keeping and management, ensuring that supporting documents are properly filed and easily retrievable. So on financial statements, we rate them negatively, and on predetermined objectives, we rate them positively. And all of this, as I said, is for the similar reason in terms of financial statements disclosure, not being properly supported by supporting document. Let me just rephrase that. Where you find that disclosure notes, it took longer for them to produce supporting documents to us, and eventually they managed to produce them. So they need to improve their system in terms of how they basically support what is basically disclosed. And in this regard, what we recommend to our clients is that they can prepare an audit file. They must prepare an audit file before the commencement of the audit. And basically, the audit file will have the set of the financial statements that are going to be submitted for audit. And then it will have schedules that talk to each of the key numbers that are in the financial statements. And those schedules can directly be linked to supporting documentation, so that by the time they submit the financial statements to us, the result is really predictable, because they know exactly that they've given us all the information that you require to express an opinion. Item four talks to the IT systems. And we're looking at whether the systems are susceptible to compromised data integrity in the area of user access control, security management, and business continuity. And all of these three areas, the department scored negatively, because we couldn't find evidence that they have these in place, of security management and business continuity, which makes it quite vulnerable should anything happen to the IT systems basically going forward. And the last area of focus, which is governance. I think overall, the department has, in our view, this year we look at the internal audit and the audit committee in the main as to whether they are in place, and being in place, the extent to which they are effective. So it's one area where the department has done quite well overall, and with the exception of item 4, where we look at the IT governance framework that directs the positioning of IT, it involves requirements, risk, and internal controls management. So this is the area that needs to be an area of focus for all the governance structures within SA. So just to maybe to sum up in terms of our overall impression with the key controls that are in place in the department, I think the area of focus should be on disclosure notes going forward, on the leadership within the department implementing appropriate measures to ensure that there is a system in place to collate these disclosure notes, and in addition that there is a system in place to ensure that these disclosure notes are reviewed properly, not only for the purpose of the audit, but throughout the year as the department gets into the discipline of preparing their financial statements regularly, so that when it comes to the end of the year, it's just smooth sailing as far as our audit process is concerned. And as I indicated earlier, that it's one area where, as a portfolio committee, you can also play a role in terms of keeping track as to the extent to which the department is addressing these issues, and it's through really asking the questions of the department to say how far you go, have you gone with setting up a system for your disclosure notes, how far are you in terms of preparing a set of financial statements, how often are you preparing it, because in our experience the department did prepare a set of financial statements in September last year, but even though that set of financial statements was prepared, it wasn't reviewed thoroughly, and that to me sounds like a lost opportunity, because if those are reviewed thoroughly and somebody within the department, either from the internal audit or audit committee, if that person had made a recommendation of the areas they need to look at, then they would have had a full 6 months to work on those issues so that they don't become problematic when it comes to the end of the audit. So I think that is the area where we would like to work closely with the portfolio committee to just monitor how the department is doing. And then on our side, we'll have quarterly visits to the department just to make an assessment as to the extent to which it's moving to the left, hopefully, to the left of the screen, which is we're seeing these good practices being implemented, and or Lord forbid, whether there are any areas that are now moving to the right, and then we can have that as a regular feedback to the portfolio committee in terms of what our assessment is, in terms of how the department is doing. Okay, the next slide, this is just a standard template that we've used so that we're just consistent within our organization. So here we'll talk to qualification areas, and fortunately there's no area where the department was qualified, so this slide is blank. And then slide 8 talks to the misstatements corrected. And as I said earlier, it's highly unlikely that you'll find an environment where you don't pick up errors in the course of the audit. Even in an Anglo-American, you do find that there are errors. So, but what we talk about here is that we're highlighting those errors that were material, and if we hadn't corrected those errors, or if the department hadn't corrected those errors, the financial statements might have ended up being qualified. So if you look at these capital assets, current assets, and liabilities, that they did quite well, because we didn't find any material misstatements during the course of the audit. Also, when it comes to revenue and expenditure, that as well they did quite well, because there were no material errors that were found during the course of the audit. So So the only area of concern was other disclosures, and mainly the disclosures around accruals and commitments. Those are the type of disclosures that they had a particular problem with. So that, and that's the area that I've spoken to in my previous slides. Then when it comes to fruitless and wasteful expenditure, there's an amount of 253,000 rand, which is reported in the financial statements of the department, and that relates to services that were procured and paid for, but which were not utilized. So that is the one issue that has been highlighted in the financial statements of the department. And on irregular expenditure, there's an amount of just over 1 million rand, which relates to overtime that was paid, which exceeded 30% of the gross monthly basic salary for the specific employees that were identified. So this issue we picked up during the course of the audit, and it was disclosed in the financial statements of the department as an irregular expenditure. And the department is, at the time of our finalizing the report, they were busy investigating this issue and also looking at their policy with regards to how they can address this issue going forward so that it doesn't recur. There was no unauthorized expenditure that we picked up during the course of the audit. But there are two items when we look at our audit report that we had emphasized. And by emphasis of matter, we're not saying the item is qualified. We're just saying that it's material enough to bring to the attention of the reader of the financial statements. And there's an issue of material losses that is in our report. And there's also a material underspending of the budget. So those are the other two additional issues that we have highlighted in the report. And I'm sure I'll ask my colleague to speak to them once the basic done, then he can just explain those two issues in a little bit more detail. Then just to move on to our report on predetermined objectives, the committee may be aware that as the Auditor General, we haven't been expressing an opinion on predetermined objectives or on performance information. But we have been going through a phasing-in approach where we have been, on a yearly basis, increasing the scope on the audit of predetermined objectives. So what we've done for the first time in 09-10 was to express an audit conclusion on the management report of the departments. But we haven't taken that into the audit report. So what this slide is saying is that if we had expressed an opinion and we've reflected it in the audit report of the department would not have been qualified. It would have had an unqualified audit opinion on predetermined objectives. That's what this slide is saying, which is positive. And by the same token, we didn't have any findings on predetermined objectives this year. So we've got 0% all the way under 09-10. And as I said earlier, that this area was an area of concern last year in terms of the compliance with regulatory requirements, in terms of the adequacy of the reports that were prepared during 08-09. But this matter was addressed quite effectively during 09-10. Okay, the other point that we highlight in our presentation is the findings on compliance with laws and regulations. So I'm pleased to report that there were no issues that were identified in STEF SA during 09-10 audit. And linked to that, we looked at specific areas regarding procurement and contract management, and in those areas as well, our audit didn't reveal any issues of concern. All right. I think that brings me to the end of my presentation. Maybe I can just ask Nico if you can just help me with those two additional items that we have on the audit report, just to explain briefly, and then just end up.
Thank you, Jean. Thank you, Jeff. The two issues on the audit report is material losses. He said that the department suffered losses at the value of 12 million during the year under review as a result of damages to government and hired vehicles. This brought the total damages and losses since 2006 to 46 million. The department wrote off 29 million of that. Million of these losses came to savings for that year. So that the losses for this year was 46 million there. On the material and spending on the budget, that was 159 million rand, and that was due to the delay in the census pilot that didn't take place in the 19 financial year. That was carried over to the 10-11 financial year. That's the underspending of the budget. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Mr. Zungu and Nico. Honorable members, we have received the presentation from the Office of the AG. I think this is an opportunity to interact with the presentation. Honorable Dion, welcome. I'll also you in an international airport on transit. Okay. Honorable Mutimere, followed by Honorable Spidla, and Honorable Dion, George.
Mr. Chairperson, the Office of the Auditor General indicates that there is adequate skills in this department under leadership. But you go on to say that there is an ability to prepare the financial statements or to thoroughly review them. The maybe you should help us because our committee is like the Auditor General's office. You audit all the departments. You also oversight all the departments. I want to know what is the trend. First, what is the trend in other departments? And as to this problem, is it a question of governance or leadership, or is that leadership does not cascade down to the lower levels of the department? Thank you. Honorable.
I just want to request the last speaker to repeat what he was presenting to this committee. I didn't get a clear what was the presentation all about. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah. Thank you, Chairperson. On page number 6, when you made reference to governance, the conclusions that were reached was generally governance is looking okay, you know, if you look at the macro picture, which I agree with you. But then we have page number 10 and 11, where we have this fruitless and wasteful expenditure and irregular expenditure. Now, you know, to the person in the street who is very much concerned about wastage of the people's money, one of the biggest problems in South Africa we have at the moment is that the people's money gets wasted in many instances by government departments. That's obviously not acceptable. So how do we square that then to say, well, generally the governance okay, but here actually are governance failures, which you have identified and you've said something about them. But the question is, so what? So you now report them and it's down somewhere. But what about the consequences? We tell the department then they must go and fix it up, and then presumably next year you go again, and then you go and audit them. So what are the consequences? If the department does not improve, and it comes up over and over again, what actually does the Auditor General do? Do you do nothing? Or do you actually have some kind of a process that you say, well, there actually has to be some kind of consequence? Because I don't quite understand how this whole system kind of fits together. Thank you, Chairperson.
Madam,
thank you, Chair. Manzit, there's a confusion in my head, and I need some clarity. I keep on asking myself, I mean, how am I supposed to phrase the question? You are saying to us, indeed, the department in 2008-2009, they had a problem with compliance, which somehow was improved in 2009-2010. But they are still able to pay service providers 263 million rand services procured and paid for, but they are failing to utilize it. So to me, looking at the rating as far as financial management and performance is concerned, it doesn't equal to be correct. Can you just clarify that, because I'm having a confusion in that. And then two, with the materials, you said when yours, you look when your rating is based on the material out of it. But the report that is coming is also not equal to the like balancing of the information, if there were some losses. And I don't understand, there's that confusion within my head. Can you just clarify this? Too much.
Okay, maybe we should start with Nico. There was a question that says exactly what was your presentation or the elaboration all about before we respond to the other questions.
Thank you, Chair. I think the first one was on the disclosure notes. I think there can be more improvement from leadership on the disclosure notes and to review them properly. So that's the only thing at stats. There was a big improvement from last year, but the only item is the disclosure notes. That I think there should be more proper review on the disclosure notes.
Okay.
On the material losses that was there on the previous year, that has also increased in this year. The accounting officer, he rates this as the risk number one for stats. So from his side, leadership, he took action. So he appointed a consultant to investigate all these losses and damages and to recover the money from the staff members. That was the improvement from last year on the losses and damages. The other one of the previous year was the non-compliance on 30 days payment. They have put action plans in place. They have a tracking system they put in place. So by using that tracking system, those invoices were paid within 30 days. That was one. I think the third question was on fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Now, normally in government there is fruitless and wasteful expenditure. You can pick that up from most departments. But that statute was only the one case that we picked up the fruitless and wasteful expenditure. On the 263 rand, the IRE expenditure, that was the one of
payments that was made to staff members where they paid more than 30% of the gross salary for overtime. So there was no approval for exceptional cases, and that's why that was ranking as direct expenditure in the financial statements, and I also disclosed that in the financial statements. On materiality, we have a materiality figure, and for stats for this year, the materiality figure was 17 million rand. Oh, good. But if you look at the disclosure notes, we had to make a lot of corrections to the financial statement, and that was more than 17 million rand. So, as Eugene said, if they didn't correct those misstatements on the financial statements, that would lead to a qualification on financial statements. For the last question.
Okay, over to you, Mr. Zongo. You know, this name Eugene keeps on disturbing my thought process. Mr. Zongo, over to you.
Thank you, Chair. I think if I can just add to what Nicole has said, maybe if I can just deal with the first question on the issue of the skills and what the picture is throughout the public sector. Fortunately, I've got the slide here, and maybe with your permission, Chair, if the members want us to present it, we can do that. I think it's just lucky that I've got the slides here for another purpose to be able to respond to this question specifically. So our rating has been, if you look at the department, we have rated 17 departments as having adequate skills to be able to produce financial statements, and we rated 18 as requiring improvement. So it's about a 50-50 split on financial statements. Whilst on predetermined objectives, it's 20 that have got good practices in place, and 15 that require improvement. So that is the picture globally, or at a globular basis. And in terms of whether the problem is it the problem of leadership, I think as I indicated when I started my presentation, that in our experience, leadership plays a key role in terms of setting that tone at the top, and I think we've seen from the leadership taking that responsibility when it comes to addressing the issues of compliance and also in terms of addressing the issue of service delivery information or predetermined objectives, because those issues were driven right at the top of the organization by the DG or the FG. To ensure that in areas where there were gaps in resources, those resources are basically filled, and that the issues actually also became a standard item in the audit committee, both the issue of predetermined objectives as well as the issues of compliance that were being investigated or that were being addressed. They became standard items in the agenda of the audit committee so that there could be a process of reporting back and tracking how management is progressing with those specific issues. And I would like to believe that the issue of disclosure notes, because it's now have also been brought to the attention of the leadership, that is going to also receive the similar kind of attention that has been in the past. That's the belief. At times I am an optimist that, judging from the experience from last year, that the department did take the issues up and address them effectively. And then to institute, because all of this, and when I spoke about the having the basic financial disciplines, it's our recommendation to ensure that the departments institutionalize these processes so that these issues are not dependent on an individual or one CFO, so that within the department there is a culture of reviewing things as they're being prepared. There is a culture of regular reconciliations, and those issues have to be driven by the leadership. And we see it as our role as the AG to be the conscience of the leadership, to say how we're doing. And as I said earlier, that we see the role of this committee as that conscience as well, or as that monitoring, a more stronger monitoring, to say this has been identified as an issue. What are you doing as a department to address it? Give us a sense of how far you're progressing, so that all of us we know for certain that when we meet again next year, the audit report is basically just predictable, because we know that these things have been addressed. Then there was a question on the governance, where we have rated on slide 6 the department positively when it comes to governance, but then if you look at the later slides, there are issues with regards to fruitless and wasteful expenditure and irregular expenditure. The way I can try and explain this is that, yeah, of course, linked to this question is the issue of consequences and who does what to deal with these transgressions as they have been reported. Our role as the AG is to receive a set of financial statements or the annual report from the department, and we look at it, we audit it, and then we can certify it to say what is in that annual report is effectively, to try and make it very simple, is believable. It can be believed. And in this instance, what has also been reported by the department is these areas of fruitless and wasteful expenditure, and there's irregular expenditure as well, some of which during the course of the audit would have identified that, no, you didn't report this. And the department puts it in their report, and we'll be happy as auditors that the annual report represents the true picture of what's happened in the department. So that's the assurance that we'll give you as the AGSA. Then it will be those that are charged with governance, where I think this committee is one of those, who then will have to use this report, because we've given it a stamp of approval, as it were, to say, this is what has been disclosed, and what actions have been taken by the department, or whoever needs to take action to deal with the matters that have been disclosed in the annual report. So our work ends at a point where we've basically signed off on the audit report, or we've certified the audit report. So, and then somebody else needs to take that going forward. And as I say, it's either the management of the institution itself, the board, if there's a board, the executive authority, or I would like to believe that this committee will also have to play a role in that regard, just to check what are the consequences and how far the department is in regards to making people sort of pay for their actions. So that's basically how I look at it. So the rating, in terms of our rating the governance positively, is to say, in the main, the department has got functioning governance structures that identify these issues, whether it's fruitless and wasteful, and or it's irregular expenditure, and report it in the manner that it needs to be reported. So that's as far as that's how I can reconcile why we rated governance positively in most respects. Then on the question of the compliance issues, and we the way we spoke about the improvement in 09-10. I think the specific area of that we had identified when it comes to compliance in 08-09 is in the area of the department not being able to pay within 90 days. All right, so that's the specific issue that we had reported last year, and we satisfied that they have addressed that. And also there was an issue of there being losses, which is part of the issue that Nico referred to, and these losses were not being investigated and appropriate action being taken either to recover or to write off or to do whatever with those material losses. And we satisfied that this matter has also been addressed, and as the audit report does refer to the quantum of these losses, where some have already been written off and some are being investigated further. So those were the non-compliance issues of last year. So the answer regarding Footless and Waitrose is a similar answer that I've given, that it's there in the annual report, and we're quite comfortable that it represents the full picture of the fruitless and wasteful expenditure. So the question is, are steps being taken to deal with it in line with the PFMA? And as I said earlier, that I feel that now rests with the slightly higher authorities than the office of the AGFA. And Nico did speak to materiality. And the materiality is quite important in that we did not report all the errors that we may pick up during the course of the audit. If there's an error of 10,000 rand, we'll weigh it up and say this is not material to impact how the users of the financial statements view those financial statements. So, and then things will start to be surfaced in the audit report if they reach a maturity limit. I think you said what, how much? 70 million. And that is based on the size of the department, so where we say that this is above this rand amount. And some of the issues may be highlighted even though they are below 70 million, if we feel that they are much more, like things like fruitless and wasteful, we're talking about a number of 200,000, because it's much more, it's linked to compliance, or compliance issues, so we'll highlight that. So I hope that gives the full answer on the question, but if I've left anything out, I'll be quite happy to add.
Any follow-ups? Dr. Luyanga, welcome. We received your apology earlier on. You also welcome. I was advised that in terms of Rule 61, no member shall be referred to by his or her first name. Only. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, and let me reiterate my apologies for coming late. Chair, I've just gone through the annual report and also this presentation now, but I've been able, Chair, to maybe put more emphasis on the issue that appears on page 10 under fruitless and wasteful expenditure, where it has been found that services were procured and paid for but not utilized. I mean, that one is not just an audit query. So if you have procured, you have paid for, there is an element of public finance management which compels departments and entities to pay for services that have already been rendered. So it means you pay for services that you have utilized. So this is contradictory to that spirit. But how do you then pay for something? You procure and pay for it and you don't use. I think we need more explanation on that one, or it must be noted as a serious concern. Then the other issue, which is around the ratings. For instance, here on page 15, on issues of supply chain that resulted in irregular expenditure, there is no number. I mean, there is nil, and there's zero, and 0%. So there is, this entire document hasn't got a figure. It's only 0% and zero number. What does that mean? Because on issues of supply chain, if you have the 263 under wasteful and fruitless expenditure, then when it is quantified, you come with a zero. I mean, there is a gap there. And the, all these issues, the top five issues that have been highlighted as findings on procurement and contract management. Also, the quantification, I'm quoting the quantification here. I don't know what is the base of this. You can't have a quantified, because quantitatively, you should be having figures if you do have the figure in your finding. But seemingly, in conclusion, UAG, I mean, statistics in its nature, it's a quantitative entity. It deals with figures and numbers. But now, when findings are made on them, it doesn't respond to that. Can I get Larry to say?
Over to you, Mr. Zungu or Mr. Puren.
With your permission, Chair, can I just ask the Honourable Member to maybe just expand on the last question where you're saying ZSA talk to the numbers and the findings do not relate to that, maybe just before I start giving a wrong answer.
Just saying to you, Chair, that the institution at Statistics South Africa, the name Statistics is around numbers and figures. So no one expects a query that is coming from Statistics South Africa, because it's a source or it's a body that we rely in terms of numbers, whatever number. Number in terms of performance and underperformance.
Okay, thank you, Chair. I think on the issue of the fruitless and wasteful expenditure of 253,000 and the requirements of the PFMA, I'm going to just defer that to you, Nico, if you can just help me with the answer to that one. But then on the second question, with regard to slide 15, where the Honourable Member has pointed out that we have not highlighted any issue on the slides, which is contrary to the other issues that we've highlighted in terms of irregular expenditure and fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Basically, what we highlight in slide 15 is any issues of compliance with laws and regulations that we identified during the course of the audit. So what that basically means is that if there was any irregular expenditure that the department had not identified themselves, and when we conducted the audit, we pick it up and we say this issue hasn't been identified as an irregular expenditure. So we highlight it and we record it on this slide here, on this slide number 15. So the issues that have been mentioned earlier in terms of this fruitless and wasteful expenditure of 263, and I think there's R1 million of irregular expenditure. These are the issues where the department itself has got processes in place that identifies and report
these matters as either irregular or as fruitless and wasteful. So what we aim to do with slide 15 is just to highlight whoever we're reporting to that there are issues that we're concerned about with regards to the effectiveness of the internal controls within that particular department when it comes to tracking compliance with laws and regulations in all these particular areas. So that's what this basically highlights. So the zeros here say that we haven't picked up anything that had not already either been identified or reported by management of the entity. I'm not too sure whether I can be able to answer the last question, where the honourable member says, being staff SA, there's no expectation that there's any query that can come from the department. I'd like to pass the buck there, maybe, and just pass it to the department, because what we're reporting here is what is factual in terms of what we found within the department. And I would like to believe that the department will be better placed to contextualize it in relation to their mandate. Thank you. And then, Nico, can you just help me with the first question?
Thank you. The fruitless and wasteful expenditure, that's not something that we picked up during our audit. That was something that the department already disclosed on the financial statements, and they have to disclose it according to the PCMA. So that one figured in one of these numbers on these slides. So this was not a query from our side. But we just highlighted to Parliament that they were fruitless and wasteful expenditure.
Anton? Doctor, followed by Honourable Speaker.
I'm answered, Chairperson. I would say the last question that Mr. Zungu has passed it on to Nico. The mere fact that you are unable to respond to that is because your responses have actually covered that. Because my question was it's a serious concern if we can query figures that are coming from this entity, because it is their role, they are dealing with figures. Now, when they have zeros, it means there is nothing that was actually identified as a shortfall on their part. So it means they've done well in as far as I'm concerned, because the explanation that you are giving to say for whatever issue that they did not pick up from the department, you regard that it's a finding on your own. You cannot make a finding which has been a finding of someone else. Yeah. So you're the only issue you said that I would want maybe AG to actually deal with these issues of underperformance and payment to people who are doing nothing. The department underperforms and then you get payments, you get huge bonuses on the other side. Those are issues that statistics came out very clear on to say there are so many departments, you know persons by name who are failing on that one, but what is lacking maybe on our side as Parliament, we don't apply the prescripts of the Constitution to say if this is perpetual, what is it that we must do, and we must do that because you have given us the information that we required from you. Thank you.
Fine. Thank you. Honourable members, it would appear we have exhausted the deliberations with the Office of the Auditor General. Suffice to say that this interaction does go a long way in terms of preparing the committee, because we are going to be having a presentation, an annual report presentation from ZSA as a department tomorrow. Obviously, the detail of what the committee would want to raise with the department will come in that meeting. But I think this is a very, very useful preparatory platform
for the committee. In fact, if we had our way, we would have loved to actually have this kind of pre-interactions with you before we meet with all entities that are aligned to this committee and National Treasury. But nonetheless, it is it's something that we'll continue to consider. Thank you very much. I just want to make two announcements for committee members to know before we leave. One, we have been joined by two staff members. We have spent a lot of time with Dr. Researcher in this committee. Not that our requests have been adequately responded to, but at least we have one researcher, Mr. Mpela, sitting at the back there. It's Mr. Mpela, not Mpela. It's Mr. Mpela. Just like you see the same names from the north, others pronounce them differently. Like Malema is not Malema, it's Malema. So I just want to make sure that Mr. Mpela is Mr. Mpela to this committee. We have also Alan Wickham, who is or has joined this committee. We have not explained to committee members that the committee secretary, Bradley Feljoen, rightfully so, he should have left this committee somewhere in 1st September. But we pleaded with him and the management of this institution because he has applied and succeeded in acquiring a managerial position in the institution. So from the 1st of September, we have gone. And I said, you know, it's very rare that you still find loyal civil servants who would sacrifice even their progression to remain behind until the committee is fully resourced. He has made an undertaking that he will be with us until Ellen is ready to can assist this committee in the manner in which he would also be satisfied, not just ourselves. So he's going to be with us until the end of this fourth term, but he has also committed himself to take us through the budget process next year. And thereafter, he'll remain an honorary member of this committee. So I just felt I must make this this announcement, honorable members. But also to say I have been requested to join the speaker from tomorrow until next week, Tuesday, on a foreign trip. As we have been doing it in the past, I hope honorable members will agree with me that the whip of the majority party will continue to act as the chair of this committee until I'm back. I'll be back in time for the medium-term budget policy statement or speech in Parliament next week. So I thought I should make this announcement. Thank you very much. If there's any objection to the proposal, let's note that so that we put the matter to vote and another proposal. Okay. In this committee, we have never voted on any matter. So thank you very much, honorable members. And Mr. Zungu, Mr. Puren, once again, thank you very much. We don't think we have had enough interaction with you, but this is a good start. You are very central to our work. Most instances, people think it's the work of SCOPA to interact with the Office of the Auditor General, when in actual fact, all committees have got the right to do so. Thank you very much.